In verse 20, Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. And we'll read this portion of Scripture down through here, if you'd like to read with me. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. I'm going to quit reading right there. But I want you to notice, in verse 27 is the main verse we're going to be looking. We're going to talk about this down through here, but in verse 27, it's the main verse and thought that we're going to look at tonight. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And that's what I just want to talk about just a little while tonight. With the Lord's help, I want to think about this together, pray for us. And let's get something out of this together from God's Word. And let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go farther. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for letting us be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're all here, Lord, and in your wisdom and your sovereignty. We thank you, Father, for your precious word that we're going to get into tonight. We pray, Father, that you'd speak to us, you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to understand who we're supposed to be as your children. Help us, Lord, to understand and know that we are servants. We are your servants, Lord, and we are servants of each other. And help us, Father, to have that mindset, Lord, the same mindset that you had. Lord, that you made yourself of no reputation and took upon you the form of a servant. Lord Jesus, Lord, you did that for us, Lord. How willing should we be able to do that? Have your way in this service tonight, Lord. Get all the glory and honor and praise for everything that's done. Work in our lives, work in your people's lives. Lord, make us usable and use us for your honor and your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice this portion of Scripture tonight that we read to you. It says that they were Zebedee, the mother of Zebedee's children, and her sons worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. What they desired of him, she asked him, said, Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on the right hand and another on the left in thy kingdom. And of course, we hear later on that when she did ask that, the rest of the disciples, the other ten, it says they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. It sort of aggravated them. Who do you think you are that you should ask? Who do you think you are that you should ask to be the ones to sit on or at his right hand and left hand in the kingdom? Right. I can sort of understand why the others would be sort of aggravated, wouldn't you? Right. Why, who do you think you are that you should be the one to ask? And they asked this, and they still had an idea, you know, that he was going to set up his kingdom on earth at that time, and that he was going to set it up, and they wanted to set it at his right hand, his left hand. And we shouldn't be too surprised. All of us have wanted something like that at one time or another. That'd be pretty convenient, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty nice to be able to do that, just set us up. Let's bypass the suffering, the sacrifice, and everything else involved with it, and just go ahead and put us right up on the throne, you know. Let us set us up there in the place. So that would be real nice. We feel like that sometimes, but there's a whole lot to go yet before they get there. And that they should have knew that, because he had just told them in verse 18, We go to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and discourage and to crucify him, And the third day he shall rise again. Of course, they still didn't understand what he was talking about. They didn't understand how this could be possible. And so she was asking that exalted place for her two sons. And she told them, she said, you don't know what you're asking. And they said, are you able to drink the drink, the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized, the baptism I am baptized with? They still didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't understand what he was going to have to suffer. And they certainly didn't understand what they was going to have to suffer at this time either. They was going to have to suffer. They didn't understand that. Of course, James was martyred himself. And John, he lived a life of martyrdom. I mean, they boiled him and all and cast him on the island and done all things to him to try to get rid of him because he knew Jesus. And they didn't know what they was going to have to go through. But Jesus knew what they were going to go through. And Jesus knew they finally would be ready to go through it. They weren't ready to go through it at this time, but they would be ready to go through it. And when the others, they were moved with indignation against them, it says. And then Jesus called them and he gave them a lesson. He spoke to them, he gave them a lesson. He said, now you know the prince of the Gentiles exercised dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority. The great ones are the ones that exercise authority over the Gentiles. The great ones are the ones who are the kings and the princes and the ones in authority. They're the great ones that get to exercise the authority. But Jesus said, it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in being a Christian. Whosoever's great is a servant. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. He said the one that's great will be the servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. That's the way it is in God's family. In all of God's family. Are you here? That's you. And that's me. All of God's family. Every part of God's family. Everything that's done in God's family. It's that way. The great one is the one that's serving. The great one is the one that's serving. Hey, you young people, you're supposed to serve. And you old people, you're supposed to serve. You're supposed to serve. Sometimes we don't teach that too good. We don't even teach that too good in our families sometimes. We're supposed to serve. Now, you brothers and sisters, you're supposed to get along with each other. You're supposed to serve each other. You're supposed to do your best to be good to each other and take care of each other and serve each other. Us older brothers and sisters are supposed to be serving each other. That's the way it is in God's family. You want to be great in God's family? Serve everybody then. That's the way He means for it to be. Serve everybody. You husbands and wives, I know us men, we're the leaders, and we're the heads of the family, and God made it that way. But hey, because we're the heads, we're supposed to serve more than anybody. And you wives, you're supposed to serve. I mean, you get tired of hearing that sometimes, probably. But we're supposed to serve. Us husbands and wives are supposed to serve each other. We ought to go out of our way to try to do more for the other one than they do for us. It ain't supposed to be no competition, but I mean, we're supposed to serve each other. I'm supposed to serve my family and my wife. I'm supposed to take care of them. I'm supposed to serve them. We're supposed to be servants. That's the way to be great in God's family. There ain't no other way to be great. Great is nothing else. It's nothing else. You read, those first deacons, they were servants. They were supposed to be servants to the church. Those first deacons, they were supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost. You read the fruits of the Spirit and see if that's not fruits of a servant. Fruits of a servant. You be filled with the Holy Ghost and you'll serve. You'll love people to death. You won't have no problem loving your brothers and sisters. You young people, you won't have no problem loving your brothers and sisters. If you're saved and you let God's Spirit fill you and control you, you won't have no problem loving your brothers and sisters. Amen. And us grown brothers and sisters, we won't have no problem loving each other. If we let God's Spirit fill us, and we won't have no problem loving each other. I don't have no problem loving people when I'm full of the Lord. When I'm full of the Spirit, I don't have no problem loving you all with all you, with all the things that are wrong with you and all the bad personalities and the bad things. I don't have a bit of problem loving you. And you won't have no problem loving me either. As hard as that may seem sometimes. If you won't have no problem loving, we don't have no problem loving each other when we're full of the Lord. You know that? And we'll serve each other. I love you so much, I want to do everything I can for you. God's love is unconditional, and it's sacrificial, and it serves. It serves. What did Jesus say right there? Even in verse 28, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He said, I didn't come here for you to serve me. I didn't come here for you to minister to me. I mean, this was the Son of God. And He said, I didn't come here for you to lavish all kinds of attention on me and do everything you could for me. And, I mean, if anybody deserved it, this was the King of Glory. This was the Son of God. If anybody deserved all to be lavished with everything, He surely deserved it. But He said, that's not the reason I came here. And He's given Himself as a supreme example. He is the supreme example. I didn't come here to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I didn't come here to minister, I came here to minister to you, to serve you all, and to give my life a ransom for many. To give my life a ransom. He came here to sacrifice Himself. I mean, there ain't no greater servanthood than that, than to sacrifice Himself. He came here to be a sacrifice. How can you be a greater servant than that? He came here to give His life for us. Amen. Can't be no greater servant than that. Took upon Himself the form of servant, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And that's what He did for you and I. So what kind of a servant should we be? What kind of a servant should I be? God wants me to serve you. God wants me to serve my brothers and sisters. He wants me to love. He wants me to love you to death. I mean, He wants me to love you. He wants me to love my family. My wife can tell you sometimes I'm not too lovable. But when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I am though. When I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I'm loving. I can love my enemies when I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I can. I can love them. Lord, let me do that in the past. There's been some people in the past that, and I'm trying not to be too funny about it, but you know, I really can't understand why people wouldn't like me. I really can't understand it. But in the past, there has been a few people that didn't like me that I worked with. There was this one man I think in particular, for some reason, he did not like me. He couldn't stand me. I believe it's just an extreme case of jealousy. He was just so jealous, that's all he could see. And it caused him to hate me. But the Lord, so many times, the Lord just filled my heart with love for him. And even though I knew if I went around him, I knew I was going to be insulted. And if I went around him, I knew that I was going to be insulted. But I'd pray and I'd say, God, help me love him. Lord, just love him through me, Lord. Help me to love him. And I'd go around him sometime and he'd come across with some wisecrack, you know, and I'd, Lord, let me just love him sometime. And I wasn't that way 100% of the time. I wasn't. But the Lord let me do that a whole lot around that man. And the Lord can do that. Lord can make servants out of us wherever we are. He can help us to be a servant wherever we are. We're supposed to be a servant to each other. Hey, that's everybody. That's brothers and sisters. We're supposed to serve each other. That's husbands and wives. That's husbands and wives. You know that? There ain't no excuse. There ain't no excuse for us not to be serving each other as husbands and wives. We're supposed to serve it. I'm supposed to serve my wife. Love her the way I'm supposed to love her. Have compassion on her. Have that long suffering of the Holy Ghost sometime. Full of patience. Full of patience. Love her the way I'm supposed to love her. I'm supposed to serve her. Give her what she needs. When you serve somebody, you're doing the will of another when you're a servant. You're doing the will of another. And the Lord is my master. And I'm supposed to be doing His will. I can't talk much about that I'm not getting what I deserve. I'm not getting what I deserve. If I'm doing His will, then I should be talking about, Lord, what do You want me to do? What do You want me to do, Lord?
Right.
Instead of saying, now I'm not getting what I deserve now. I deserve better than this. I deserve better than this. No, God the Holy Ghost says, you didn't deserve anything.
Right,
you deserve to go to hell is what you deserve.
Amen.
God's been so merciful and so good and so gracious to you. You should have went to hell. You're not in hell. You're not in hell. You really do get to go to heaven. And I've got the supply of God for what I need. I've got His supply for what I need. And I'm supposed to be a servant to these people I'm around. So when I'm treated badly, and when someone talks badly to me, then I should be praying, Lord, let me serve this person. Lord, help me. Lord, love this person through me. Help me love this person. Help me to serve. Help me to serve. That's the spirit the Apostle Paul had. If I can get up here and read it close enough. 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I be free from all men, yet I've made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul said, I'm a servant. Whoever I'm around, I'm a servant.
Yeah.
I've made myself all things to all men, that I might win some.
Yes.
That I might gain the more. That I might win some. I've made myself all things to all men. Even those unlovely people. Even those people that hate me and persecute me, I've made myself all things. See, he's able to do that because, like Brother Mark was talking about a while ago, it wasn't according to his circumstances that was around him, but it was according to the Lord that was on the inside of him.
Right.
When the Lord saved me, He made me a new creature. And now the Holy Spirit resides within me, and I've got somebody inside of me that talks to me.
Amen.
He talks to me. When I'm in bad situations like that, He's in there. And He talks to me. And if I've been a student of the Word of God, and I studied the Word of God like I should have, in those times and situations when I need to know instructions, He brings those things to my mind.
Right.
Now, you know what the Word of God says, Michael. That's what Jesus did, wasn't it?
Right.
When the devil came to Him with all those things, it is written. This is what the Word says. Well, that's what we as God's servants ought to do. We ought to be doing the will of our Master. And when in the situations that we're in, we ought to be thinking about the words of our Master is what we ought to be thinking about.
Amen.
But we get in trouble when we aren't in this book though. When we aren't letting Him renew our minds. Aren't letting Him renew our minds, we get in trouble, don't we? We don't act like His servants then. We don't need to. Too many times we listen to the philosophies and ideas and things this world's got, the ideas it's got, instead of going to the book.
That's right.
You know, Paul said over there in Galatians, I'm going to turn it over there real quick and read it. So I won't. Sometimes when I get to going fast, I can't quote too good. But Paul said over there, he said, For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please them, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, I don't seek to please men, because if I seek to please men, I'm not Christ's servant. And we're Christ's servants, aren't we?
Yeah. Amen.
So we shouldn't seek to please men. We do that too much already. I say all of us do some. We care too much about what men think and what men have said. The idea is sometimes, and it's easy to do it in some situations. Sometimes we might be in somebody's company that's quite a personality or something, or somebody that's real intelligent, and there might be a whole bunch of them or something, and so we're sort of quiet about giving the truth when they give their ideas. And
right.
Sometimes we respect men's persons a little bit, but the Lord, I believe, is trying to teach us all not to do that, because we're the servant of Christ.
Right.
We don't please men. We're not supposed to please men. We're not men's servants. We're Christ's servants. So we should be servants of Christ, not servants of men.
Yes.
And then in 2 Corinthians 4:5 said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul said, "We're your servants." Paul said, "I'm your servant."
Yeah.
Apostle Paul said that.
Yeah.
Jesus said he was their servants. The Apostle Paul said he was their servant. And I'm your servant, because I ain't no better than either one of them. And you ain't no better than either one of them either.
Right.
And that makes you my servant. And I'm your servant. And we're supposed to be serving each other.
Right.
I'm supposed to be seeking your highest good. And you're supposed to be seeking my highest good. That's what God's love does. It sought the greatest good, didn't it? And He sought such a great good. He loved us so much that He died on the cross for our sin. Love is sacrificial. And it makes you a servant. God's love makes you a servant. God's love doesn't say, "Give me what I deserve." God's love doesn't say, "Give me what I deserve." It don't tell me that. God's love won't tell me, "Give me what I deserve. I deserve better than this." That's what the devil tries to speak into my mind sometimes. "You deserve better than this. You deserve better than this." That's what he told Adam and Eve. "You deserve better than this." God's holding something back from you. He knows that the day you eat that, you'll be like God's. He's holding something back from you. And still yet, the devil uses the same thing. He said, "You deserve better than this." But if you're a God servant and you're full of the Spirit, you're not going to be saying, "Give me what I deserve." You're going to be saying, "Lord, let me serve." You get full of His love, it'll make you love people. And it's going to make you say, "Lord, let me serve. Let me do something. Let me love them. Let me love them. Lord, I'm not spiritual every day." You can just ask my wife. I'm not spiritual every day as I should be. But lots of times there, when I'm there at school, Lord, just put a love in my heart for those children there at Bellevue School. And I just go through the hall and look at them. And it just thrills my heart to just look at them. It does. It just thrills my heart. And Lord, I say, Lord, help me to love them. Help me to reach them. Help me to love them for you. And the Lord's put more Christians there in Belton School. There are several of them there now. There are several Christian teachers. And I try to go around and talk to them about the Bible, about the Lord sometime. And I tell them about the good meetings we've had. Because I found out if you talk to Christians about things like that, it sort of reaches their heart. If you talk to them about the things of God, and I feel like the Lord's just made me a servant over there. Lord sort of made me a servant over there. And He can make you a servant wherever you're at. You can serve wherever you're at. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be serving. Lord, let me do something. Let me help these people, Lord. Lord, help me reach these people. Help me to serve. Jesus said He said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. I'm not here to get everything I can. That's not my purpose. That's not your purpose. We're not here to get everything we can. We're supposed to be here to give everything we can. To give everything we can. I'm supposed to be giving everything I can for you. You know that? In the school, and in my family. We're children of God. We're heavenly citizens. We're children of God. And that's what we are. That's what He is. That's what Jesus said He was. That's what the Apostle Paul said He was. And when God saved us, He said, your body is temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own. I'm not my own anymore. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That's my purpose. That's my purpose. My purpose is to be His servant and to glorify Him wherever I'm at. There at school, there at my house, here at church, out in public. Be His everywhere I am. Act like His wherever I am. Exalt Him wherever I am. And to help people wherever I am. To be a servant wherever I am. That's my purpose. And that's your purpose. That's our purpose. Sometimes we lose sight of that, don't we? I lose sight of it sometimes. But that is our purpose. To be a servant. To love you. That's my purpose. To love you. And I've forgot that a bunch of times. I have. I confess. And I'm sorry. I forgot that. But my purpose is to help you and to serve you and to serve you, to love you. And if I'm full of the Spirit, I'll do that. I will. If you're full of the Spirit, you'll do that. Hey, you young people, if you're full of the Spirit, you'll quit fussing at mom and dad about things. If you're full of the Spirit, and you become a servant of Christ, you'll quit fussing at mom and dad about things, and you'll start saying, Mom, what can I do to help? Let me do something to help. How can I help you? Dad, what can I do? How can I help you? What can I do to help you? See, that comes with growth. That comes with maturity. And see, what will happen when you start growing and maturing, and you don't do that, you'll start feeling grieved. You'll start feeling grieved because you're not pleasing Christ, and you're not letting the Holy Spirit fill you. You're not pleasing Christ, and before you were saved, it didn't bother you, and when you're carnal, it don't bother you. When you're carnal, it don't bother you. But when you start trying to do right, you start trying to walk with the Lord, and you start trying to do what's right. God, the Holy Ghost. When you don't do it for a while. You're not the servant you should be for a while. You start feeling grieved in your spirit. You start feeling grieved. And the reason you're feeling grieved is that heavenly resident that's residing inside of you, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you've not been trying to please Him. And so He ain't happy. You're grieving Him and you're hurting Him. You're hurting Him, and He's not happy with the way His child is acting. So you feel grieved, and there ain't but one thing you can do about that. You have to go to Him, and you have to tell Him, Lord, I agree with You about this thing, this problem I've got. I'm not treating my mom and dad the way I should. I'm not treating them with respect. I'm not talking to them the way I should. And Lord, I've not been Your servant. I've not been what I should have. I've not been Your servant. I've been doing my own thing. And that's the reason I'm not happy. Lord, I need to get this thing right. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised when you come with that attitude and you come to it. You'll be surprised how quick you can get it right. When you're ready to get it right, you can get it right. If you're His child. Because let me tell you, anytime my child came to me and said, Michael, or Daddy, I'm sorry for the way I acted. I was always real quick to get it right, to forgive. Thanks to be back, because I loved them. I love them. And I love my grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. When they come to me and show me remorse and they're sorry for the way they act, honey, I'm ready. I'm ready. And my Heavenly Father's ready. When my attitude gets right again, and I confess to Him that I haven't been the servant I should have been, and I've been doing things wrong, and I'm sorry, and I feel remorse, and I let Him know about it, He's always real ready to take me back again. Amen. And He's not really taking me back. He ain't gone nowhere. And His feelings haven't changed at all, never have changed at all. But He's ready. I mean, He's ready to continue the love relationship. He's always ready. So the problem is not on His part, it's on my part, but He's always real ready to get it right. He's always real ready to get it right. But He wants, and I'm about done, but He wants me to be a servant to you. He wants me to be a servant to you. And I love every one of you. I do. I love every one of you. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. I love every one of you. I do. And I God forbid that I should be a hindrance to you. I don't want it to be a hindrance to you. I want to be a help to you. I want to let the Holy Spirit have His way in my life. That I can be a servant. So that I can exhort you. And I can strengthen you. And I can help you. When I'm down there in the prayer room with those young people, lots of times I talk to them a little while before we pray. I talk to them a little while. Because you see, I know the Lord can use the same things. Same things the Lord helped me, used to help me with. If they're Christians, those that are Christians, I know He'll use the same things to help them. And I try to talk to them, and I try to be a servant that way. Before I go down there in that prayer room, if my heart's right when I go down there in that prayer room, I pray, Oh Lord, let me help those young people.
Amen.
Lord, help me, let me help them. Lord, help me to point them to you.
Yes.
Help me to let them see you a little more. Work in their lives the same way you worked in my life. And I try to be a servant that way. But it's hard to tell what God could do through us if we'd be servants the way He wants us to. It's hard to tell what He could do. If we let the Holy Spirit fill us, His fruits would be in our lives. It's hard telling what he could do. If we'd be the servants that He wants us to be. If we'd serve each other, and if we'd serve where the Lord's put us at. I mean, God set it up that way. That's the way it works, and it does work. If you're a servant of Christ, then you're doing His work. And He'll guide you and direct you, and He'll serve through, He'll use you. You'll be a servant, and He'll use you wherever you're at. He'll use you wherever you're at if you'll be a servant for Him. Not be men's servant, be Christ's servants. Jesus said, that's the one to be the greatest. That's the servant of all. That's the one that's the greatest, the one that serves everybody. The one that serves all. Serves everybody. We should be praying, Lord, I deserve better than this. Give me what I deserve. We should be praying, Lord, let me serve everybody. Lord, let me help everybody. Help me serve everybody. God, work through me to help, to serve everybody. Paul said he wanted to become all things to all men that he might win some. And he tried to be all things to the churches. He served all the churches. He said, I've got the care of all the churches. He cared about them all. He tried to serve them all, help them all. He did everything he could to help them and serve them. That's what we ought to be. Servants of all. Servants of everybody. That would cure a lot of our family relationships. If we'd be Christ's servant in our family, that would cure our church relationships, a lot of them. Hard relationship. That would cure a lot of our personality conflicts. I mean, it's hard to have a conflict with somebody that just loves you to death. It's real hard to have a conflict with somebody that just loves you to death and wants to do everything they can good for you and wanting your highest good. It's hard to have a conflict with somebody like that. It really is. And the Lord can make us that way. The Lord can make us that way. He can make us husbands and wives that way. Now don't you go home and say, now honey, did you hear what he said? You be that way. Because if you do that, you might have you're sort of working on the wrong end. Say, Lord, help me to be that way.
Amen.
And if your mate ain't that way, pray for him. If you badger him, it might not help him to be that way, but you ought to pray for him. I mean, get God on them if they're not that way. Get the Holy Ghost on them if they're not that way. If we're not that way. We'll pray for each other. Husbands and wives, pray for each other. You know, that's something else hard to... It's real hard to have a conflict with somebody that you're just praying for God to bless them and help them and take care of them and give them everything they need, and Lord, help them in every way they can, and Lord, I love them and help me to love them. And it's hard to have a conflict with somebody you're doing that for too. And if you're a servant, that's what you ought to be doing. That's what you ought to be doing. Be a servant. Lord, help me to be a servant. Neither one of us deserve anything.
Right.
Somebody said it's easy to be thankful for everything when you know you don't deserve anything. And we don't deserve anything that we've got. I'm talking about physically or spiritually, you don't deserve anything you got. God would have been just in just putting me in hell. When I reached that time of accountability, he'd have been just making my heart stop, putting me in hell right then. He'd have been just if he'd have done that. He'd have been just. But he didn't. And I'm here tonight. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And he's given me things to do. And he's let me do things. And he's let me see that I can do more. And that he ain't done with me yet. And he ain't done with you. And he ain't done with you yet. He's got us here for a reason. And we're supposed to be servants. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're servants. God is He's my owner. He owns me. He's my master and my Lord. I'm supposed to be His servant, doing His will where He's got me at. Lord, let me serve. Lord, let me serve.
Amen.
That ought to be our prayer. Lord, what will Thou have me to do? As soon as Paul got prayed, as soon as he got saved, that's what he started asking.
Yeah.
Lord, what will Thou have me to do? Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Lord, use me. Lord, make me usable. Lord, make me usable. Send me. Let me do something. Lord, let me do something. Let me do something. Lord, don't let me sit on the shelf. Lord, let me do something. We serve an almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing God. And he wants to use this little vessel. This little vessel. He wants to use this little vessel. And he wants to use all those little vessels. And we're supposed to say, Lord, I'm your servant. Do what you want. Do what you want. I want to do something for him, don't you? I want to do something for him. I was a nothing and a nobody when he found me. He saved me. And this piece of flesh right here, this piece of flesh still ain't much. It ain't very much. But there's a redeemed person inside of this flesh.
Amen.
This is the shell right here.
Amen.
But there's a redeemed person inside this flesh. And God the Holy Ghost is in there. And He's wanting to use me. And I want Him to use me. And I want to be a servant for Him. And that's what He made. That's what we're here for. That's what we're made for. Lord, let me serve. Children, young people, if you're saved, you should be praying, Lord, use me. Let me be a servant. Let me be a servant. Mom, Dad, what can I do? What can I do to help the family? What can I do to help you? See, that's a sign of spirituality when you say, what can I do? What can I do to help you? Mom, what can I do to help you? Dad, what can I do to help you? Honey, what can I do to help you? Maybe it's been a while since you've asked that of your mate. What can I do to help you? What can I do? We ought to pray. We ought to pray for each other and pray with each other. What can I do? I don't know. It's hard telling. It's hard to tell what God could do. It's hard to tell what He could do. And I'm quitting. Hard to tell what God could do if we'd be the servants that He wants us to be. If we'd serve each other. If we'd get full of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit use us to help each other. Find the highest good for that person, God, that I'm with at that time. Serving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege of being here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. Lord, make servants out of us, Lord, I pray. Shape us and mold us, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You don't quit working on us. Lord, You're growing us, helping us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I pray that You would continue to work in our lives. Shape us and mold us, Lord. Lord, don't leave us alone. Thank You, Lord, that You don't ever leave Your children alone. Lord, but You're working Your purposes in our lives. God, it's hard to tell what You could do, Lord, if we'd yield to You and let You make us what You want us to be. It's hard telling, Lord, the prayers that You would answer for us if we'd only pray them, because our hearts were in fellowship with You. It's hard telling what You would do through us, Lord, if we'd let You make us Your servants the way You want to. Have Your way in our lives. We thank You and we praise You, Lord, for everything. Continue working our church, Lord. Use it for Your honor and Your glory. Continue, Lord, to work and, Lord, do everything You want to do here. Help us, Lord, not to hinder You. Say no to You. Help us to agree with You, Lord. Be close enough, Lord, to seek Your will and agree with You what You want to do. Can You be all the glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.